everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Boon of Wireless podcast, coming to you as always high above the streets of northern New Jersey at ANJ Media. Yes, New Jersey. Wow, we have some laws on the books that make it very easy to make fun of us here in New Jersey. For example, and it is supposedly true, it is illegal to frown at a police officer in New Jersey. In Newark, it's illegal to sell ice cream after 6 p.m. unless the customer has a note from his doctor. In Creskill, all cats must wear three bells to inform the birds of their whereabouts. And in New Jersey, it is illegal to knit during fishing season. Andrew, behind the glass, how are you?
I'm doing well, John.
Have you ever broken any of these laws?
I got caught knitting.
Well, don't you know you shouldn't knit during fishing season?
I didn't know the fish were out.
Okay. All right, folks, come to New Jersey. It's a wonderful place to be from. My guest today is a seasoned executive with over 22 years of experience in the telecommunications and media industries. Throughout his career, Brian Cohen has built a reputation as a strategic leader, successfully guiding both public and private sector clients through complex communication challenges and growth initiatives. He's advised governments all over the world on communications policy and infrastructure development and has played a pivotal role in helping companies expand their operations across markets. Brian's deep expertise spans wholesale, telecom operations, licensing, carrier agreements, and infrastructure development, areas where he has consistently delivered results and built long-term value. In addition to his telecom work, Brian has a strong background in media, having launched television channels and licensed TV content for his distribution. Wow, maybe we can get this on his program, on his channels. His entrepreneurial mindset has also led to him to support others in supporting and growing businesses across various sectors beyond telecom and media. On a personal side, Brian was actually an Olympic qualifier for judo at the Beijing Olympics in 2008 and also held 5 world titles in kickboxing. I better not upset him today. Brian is an advocate for special needs children, which I think is a very commendable thing for anybody to do. So please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Brian Cohen. Brian, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm great. Thank you for having me today. I really appreciate it. And for that introduction, you're making me sound probably much better than I actually am.
So you're coming to us from the heart of New York City today, right?
Exactly. Just outside the heart of it. I'm not necessarily in Times Square, but close enough to it that if we listen real hard, we could probably hear the sirens.
Okay. So let's jump into it. Your company, OPN Communication. Tell us a little bit about OPN Communication, who you are, what you do.
OPN Communications was really set up as an amalgamation of all different companies that I've either acquired, started over the past 22 years. So we set each thing up as a different vertical. And we have everything from being able to open up an MVNO in multiple countries through being able to have access to internet, bandwidth, satellite, all under white label, or if you don't care, we have branded as well, in about 120 different countries at the moment.
Wow. How did you, I'm going to jump ahead of myself a little bit here, but how did you start this?
I started off doing PR marketing when I was 17. When I was 18, I had a combat sports client, and my mentor took me in and said, could you get their rights for TV? And I said, I could try. I got their rights. He said he'd help me. And it kind of exploded from there to where I ended up getting bandwidth over a T1 line to stream live sports. And then I saw that there was a need, which I really didn't like, that small businesses were being gouged in telecom. People were being gouged. That if you were not a big outlet like Google, Microsoft, CVS, Walgreens, this is going back 20 plus years, that you're paying near $50, $60, $70, where they're maybe paying $5, $10, $15 a line. So luckily, I talk very well. So at probably, I guarantee, just around a $20 million guarantee, I was 19, 20 years old. And I started offering really cheap service, knowing that I'd have to sell the heck out of it in volume, given I think I was too stupid to understand that the minimum guarantee could have screwed me for a very long time. But I ended up using that to help sell to small businesses and as well as prepaid calling cards. And then I was also getting bandwidth for streaming different live events that they couldn't afford a satellite truck. And then that evolved into satellite.
Let's step back a minute. 20, 22 years ago, when you started in this industry, you were in college. What gave you the idea and the confidence to do something like this when you were like, what, 18 or 19 years old? What gave you that? What gave you the, as they say in New York, a chutzpah to do this?
My mentors really threw me into the fire, but helped me as well. But at the same time, I was probably too stupid to realize what I was getting myself into. If I knew what I knew now, I don't know if I ever would have went into telecom.
Well, I'm going to ask you that later about what you know now that you did know then, because I think we're all naive back even before you got in the industry, making this thing up as we went along, this thing called wireless. But how did you fund this thing?
Honestly, I didn't take on investors. I hustled. I would work two, three jobs, and every break, every free second that I had, I would be working. I'd be hustling. If I had a few seconds, I'd respond to an email. I would take a call. Because when I started, SMS wasn't prevalent, if really there at all. And yes, it was there, but not really many people were using it 22 years ago. It's not like how it is now.
Well, they weren't using SMS. We were using Nextel, which I was so honored and proud to be part of back in the day. But yeah, you're right. People weren't that connected as they are today to the phone. But what exactly, again, to our listeners, because I'm piqued, my curiosity is piqued. And when you said that people were getting hosed by the providers, what exactly were you trying to solve? What did you see? And then what did you try to, how'd you try to fix that?
What I saw is that large corporations, due to volume, that they were getting massive discounts, but these large corporations were trying to drown out the smaller business. And it's not something that I liked. And yes, you have to play with bigger businesses and smaller businesses in this industry, but don't have such a disparity of five, six, seven, eight times the amount that you're charging. So I took that on. And I went, all right, let me see a price point where I can make a couple of dollars a customer and where in volume I can make a very good amount of money, keep funding what I'm doing, keep pushing through, not just gouge and take everything out of it and have to go hunt for investors. I lived very meagerly for years.
How did the customer that you went after react to, I'm doing business with this company or that company? Who are you? And what can you, I know you're going to have a lower price, but who are you? What can you do for me?
Honestly, a big part was the price. I go, why are you paying everything out? Why are you paying them so much money? They're a name for the exact same service. And yet you're struggling for expenses. You're trying to compete with the big guys. And yet you're here. So what I could do to help you is this. And then I could give you this product. Then you could brand it as your own. I don't care. I don't care if it's under my name or not. So we got voice, we got in prepaid calling cards, which a lot of bodegas really liked. And from that point, I would always ask for referrals. So I would do the typical insurance guy thing where, all right, can you give me five names of people that you know that might be interested? But I'm also the quintessential door banger. And what I mean by that is, I'm not afraid to walk into a door, no soliciting or not. I go three doors to the left, three doors to the right. And I'm going to pitch.
The old cold calling, as we used to call it.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. I've had cops threaten to be called on me. And I go, okay, well, they're this far away for this type of call. It'll be 40 minutes. By that time, I'll be done. And chances are you might be a customer. And
There
that's
you
happened a
go.
couple of times. And each
Okay.
time, they became a customer. So a big part of me is then and even now, you have to be relentless. You have to be headstrong.
How long did it take you to say, okay, I have a business here and I'm going to grow this thing as high as I can? How long did it take you from that point to saying, okay, I'm now going to hire people, I'm going to get an apartment, I pay my bills, I'm going to take myself out to a nice dinner, solicit clients? How long did that take?
it was as I was growing and I was at a time where either I had to take a line of credit, but I was really young, so it's going to be very hard to get one. Really push investors when everybody's still really weird about this industry, and I'm playing more so on the outskirts with extremely thin margins. So a lot of venture capital is not going to like me that much. So I cut out everything that I possibly could, and I live in New York City. So for me, rent's extremely expensive. It saves money. It enables me to hire some salespeople to give them a tiny little base and heavier duty commission.
Here's the question. What was the, if I had only done this 20 years ago, what do you think that would have been?
For me, I'm always under the adage that everything's a learning experience. And I don't think if I didn't hit the same bumps and made the same mistakes that I would be where I'm at now.
All right, let's talk about wholesale and this MVNO business, which I'm very well ingrained in. And you told me a couple weeks ago that there is no wholesale left in the United States today. You're also echoing my good friend, who I'm not going to mention his name because I mention him every third or fourth podcast. Can you explain what you mean when you say there's no wholesale left in our country?
If you look at the rest of the world, the carriers are there. Yes, they do sell above their cost and above what they do it for, but they allow you to do it on a more competitive level. In the U.S., they went to Congress and set up these retail rates of what they charge. But in reality, they just keep everything on a permanent promo. So where they might say that internet is $89 for one gig and you have to sign a 3-year contract, in reality, for themselves, they're canceling that and they're saying it's $35 and you don't have to have a contract. So we could use Comcast as an example. At one point, they made wholesalers sign up every single client for a 3-year contract. And instead of their $35, $40 for one gig, it was $89, I believe.
When you say $39, $89, are those retail prices that I as a consumer would pay, or are those prices that you're buying from a carrier?
No, $89 is what we buy at a wholesale carrier, and the $35 is what they're offering to their end user.
So how do you survive? How do you price it?
It's extremely hard. So you look for other options. If you look at internet in the U.S. and buying it from Comcast, Spectrum, you look at buying it from Cox, MediaCom, any of these companies, it's almost a dead industry and they want it that way. So you look at one of three things. You look at either offering it as a channel partner or an agent where they own the customer. The other way is that you include it in a bigger deal so you offset your costs. Or the third way is you just buy DIAs and access to them and you start building out into your own communities and then find other product. So myself, I started building into different housing communities. That's because I got sick and tired of it. And then we also have a very good fixed wireless product as an end runaround, given we still offer DIAs for people, satellite backhaul, and we find other ways to approach the market. But am I buying end user internet where they're going directly into the location, their techs, but you're the one billing it out for $89, whatever it might be, a month? Absolutely not. And most people can't survive in that. So when that gets into mobility, which is, as you were saying, this is your crux. With mobility, it gets into what are carriers doing now, where they charge so much money a gig, so much more than it charges them. And I am all for capitalism. I am all for make the money that you can. And I tell my customers this too. But there's also a balance versus the rest of the world. Whereas in other countries, you can choose your own voice. You could have a core. You can have your own SMS and within reason roaming. And in the US, sometimes you could choose your own roaming. A lot of the time you can't. And then with the data rates, they're going to try everything that they can to charge you as much money as they can. And if you get too competitive, if you look at the current industry, look how many MVNOs T-Mobile and Verizon have bought in recent history.
Comparing the United States wholesaler MVNO market to the rest of the world, and I know that you operate on a global stage. Where do you see the opportunities for the U.S.-based MVNOs over the next couple of years?
I see it in two ways. And one of the biggest ways is I think the day and age of the half million sub, the million sub or beyond MVNO is over. I think the way to get back to having something like that is by really becoming a telco and being able to offer up double plays, triple plays, or even quad plays now, such as what you see the big cable cos offering. And now with all new technology, you don't have to offer. You don't have to offer your own wireline. You don't need to lease wireline. You don't need to go out and aggregate hundreds of TV channels around the world. In the day and age of where we're in, many people like my company, we have all those products for you. So if you want one product from us or multiple, we're here from you. We're here to help you brand it. We're here to help you set it up. And you know what? We might not be the right company for you, but you know what? Chances are we'll have at least one product that you're going to want to work with us on. So I think that we need to set up the traditional MVNO into a telco now and actually have them expand their product offerings, because now what I see with many MVNOs, with the exception of New York Mobile, because they have a really different differentiator, it's a race to the bottom in many cases. And with the day and age of ACP and possibly soon Lifeline over, and I hope Lifeline doesn't end, not that I'm a proponent of the of everybody getting in to get your 995 rate. I think that needs to be more controlled. But Lifeline also controls funding for schools and libraries to get better rates on everything from voice, internet, as well as other products. So I think it's very important. So this summer is going to be quite interesting to see if Congress is going to renew that part. I don't think ACP is going to come back. Many people thought it would. Now they're thinking different. So now is the chance for those MVNOs and new MVNOs to come in and come in going, you know what? We're not just a mobile company. Come and go and get internet with us, or internet and TV, or mobile and TV. Or you know what? Here, you could get roaming to these countries with us. And that's where we really try to compete. Plus, we have our own MVNE in-house. We have our own software. So we also try to cater not just to the guys that have a few hundred thousand subs or 10,000 subs, but to the nano MVNO that really wants to do a powered by situation, that has a group that they know that they could sell to, know have customers, but nobody really wants to deal with the people that have 50, 100, 200, 1,000 customers. We're here for that, and we really set up a plug-and-play platform to really help grow the nano MVNO.
Okay, Brian, that being said, OPN Communication operates on a global stage. And what can we do in North America, and what can our MVNOs learn from the people that you deal with and that are currently operating outside of the U.S. and implement to get better than we currently are today from the MVNO standpoint?
I would love to say that I see a possibility in the near future of us getting closer to an international standard, which I think is moving, just not within the next year or 2 years. I think that we have to operate on more of a true level where becoming a full MVNO is more about accessing the RAN, including your ILD, and having the choice. Do you want to take the carriers? Do you want to take the carrier's voice? Do you want to take their SMS or your own? I think we have to plan a level that they're allowing the larger cable cos to do. But to a point contradict that, I think at the same point, there need to be companies such as what I'm doing, I'm trying to do, is we need to have more powered by solutions where people can pick and choose what do they want, how they want, foster creativity and innovation within the smaller company telecom market.
From my standpoint, many MVNOs are still vanilla. I offer you, as you said earlier, it's a race to the bottom with certain brands. We all know who they are. I saw a new one launch earlier this month. It's basically doing $13 a month, pay 3 months in advance, and we're going to conquer the world. Good luck. How do they break out of their comfort zone, these MVNOs that we all know, that are, one, losing customers to cable? They're moving customers on the same underlying network that the dealer level, once a dealer has gotten 3 or 4 months of commission, and he then moves that customer to another brand under that same underlying carrier. How do we get these MVNOs out of their comfort level to begin offering other services? And what could some of those services be? You talked about, you know, fixed wireless. You talked about other stuff. How do we break the ice? Who's ready to stand up and say, okay, I'm an MVNO, and yes, I've got a differentiator. We all know what Mobile X is doing. We all know what New York Mobile is doing with a vanity pick your own number. What are some of the things that they should be doing to grow, not just survive?
There's a couple of things that get into that. One is you need companies that are actually here to help them and not just out for their money and push them to sell and help them sell to a point, but create it where a lot of money is going in their pocket. Part of what we're doing is I'm not playing on the traditional margins. I'm really trying to negotiate contracts, work through contracts where I could pass along savings to these guys to help them compete better on a per gig level or on a total product level and really come in with a full package. What we also need to do, and I see it incredibly hard because a lot of these guys, they see OneWay, they see Leica, they see Mint, they see Simple Mobile. They see a lot of these companies going, oh, well, I can sell better than that. I have 5 stores that I could sell to from the store. And I'm sure, as you can agree, you see some MVNOs, some possible MVNOs calling you up, going, well, I own 10 retail stores, which I'm sure has happened to you before.
The question really is, I can give you the same as I can as those low-cost providers that you mentioned, but we also offer X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
How do we get a new entrant into this market here in the U.S. to say, look, yeah, I can do that for you, but that's, you know, you don't need me for that. What you need me for and what OPN can offer you is talk, text, data, and XYZ, ABC, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's what's making, in my opinion, Brian, that's what I think's made you successful. I didn't know of OPN communication before I met you, about a year or two ago. And, how do we now get the word out that there is a provider that can help you break through the clutter, as we say, have a differentiator, not from just a differentiator from a service offering, but expand their offerings? How do we get that out there?
It's a very tough question because we get on calls with very large MVNOs and cable cos, and we get on calls with guys that are not even starting their process yet. They're just at the bare bones beginning, which is why I say that they're not even starting their process yet. I think it's going to take somebody pushing through advertising, an actual brand, I mean, pushing a lot more and spending money on marketing and having the willingness to say, well, the cable companies are doing this. They have these products. Why can't we?
You're talking about another product, not I can now watch and stream for free. You're talking about what can I do to get 2 or 3 different products that I need, wireless, cable, fixed wireless, whatever, on one bill.
You need to see more companies going in saying, well, we just want to sell mobile. That's what we see people doing. And unfortunately, you have that too much right now too. What can we do to be different? What can we offer our customers not only to stay with us, to answer your question about going to the cable cos, which are absolutely killing it, and in one part, I think it's great, but what can we do to take customers from them? And you see that it's working with them, and now it needs to take these guys such as with MVNOs years ago, and not just starting and taking a decade plus to really get a lot of MVNOs opening. You need to have people now that it's working, now that the market is hot. You need to get them going. Well, they're doing it. Why can't we?
And, the carriers don't want me too MVNOs. I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but if you are small and can't commit to a carrier on their box that you have to check on volume and 3 to 5 years of purchasing of wholesale, the carrier actually has to approve the potential MVNO that the aggregator is bringing them, which I got to tell you to my carrier friends out there, I'm surprised that we're seeing so many of the new low-cost providers. I guess it's a volume play for the carriers, but I've also seen potential MVNOs turned down because they said, "Look, we already have that. We want something different." And that's more when you come direct to the carrier. And I'm seeing that more and more with the aggregators now, where they're trying to get volume, but the carrier is saying, no, we already have somebody doing that. We have too many people doing that. Find us something different, okay? Like you said, like a Mobile X."
We're the New York Mobile.
Yeah, it's a perfect example of doing something that no one else is doing and probably won't be able to do because of what they've done for years prior to launching an MVNO. But if I want to contact OPN and talk to you about what type of innovative and additional services that I can offer as an MVNO or a wholesaler or even B2B, which we didn't talk about too much, but I know that you're very heavy in that too. How does somebody reach out and find you?
They can go to the website, opncomm.com.
Right on the screen. There it is. Okay.
And the other way is, you know what? I'm always around. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. I look like me, maybe a couple years younger.
Well, Brian Cohen, thank you. I know this, I talked about it last week. There's a lot of shows coming up. I'm sure I'm going to see you at a few. Do a commercial now for MVNO Nation, first U.S. show. As their ambassador, I encourage you to register and come down to Miami Beach on the 29th and 30th of May. It's going to be a fully packed couple of days with some very, very, very household name companies and movers and shakers in the MVNO world. So, Brian Cohen, OPN Communication, thank you for coming on. Very lively discussion, and I think we had some gives and takes on both sides that I thought was a good dialogue. So I thank you for that. That is going to wrap up another episode of The Boon of Wireless. So, as we always say, we'll see you next time. Thanks. Do you want to be a guest on the Boon of Wireless podcast? Give us a call at 908-THE-BOON. Yes, 908-843-2666.